Let's open together to the Word of God, to Acts chapter 24 and verse number 14. Acts 24 and verse number 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship God, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And here we see that we are exhorted, or we are encouraged, to believe the scriptural authority of everything that is written. And the framers of the confession must have selected this proof text to confirm that the Christian is one who believes all things pertaining the scripture. We are looking at, and we have been looking at, the London Baptist Confession, and we've arrived on chapter 14 of the 1689 Baptist Confession, which has stood the test of time. It's not the Word of God. It's below the Word of God, subordinate to the Word of God, but it is a teaching tool that helps us to gain a deeper and a richer understanding of God's Word. And it points us towards the Scriptures. And our subject today is saving faith. This chapter 14 deals with what saving faith really means. What is saving faith? Well, people have all sorts of ideas what faith is, but it's not really saving faith. People, for example, they may say, well, I've got faith that the sun will rise tomorrow morning. Well, that's just confidence and knowledge. It's not really saving faith. Or they may say, I've got faith that this chair will support my weight. That's confidence they know from experience. Confidence and natural faith is not saving faith. Saving faith is something more than just natural faith. And we see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, and we know the scripture very well, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So all through the Bible, we see the importance of faith, the importance of what the Bible calls not just an ordinary faith, but saving faith. And we read, for example, in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 19, and we see that even demons, even devils, tremble and believe. But that's not saving faith, because although they believe, they are not saved. And they don't have saving faith. But we see, and we're going to learn, that saving faith is a gift from God. And according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the verse that we read, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. And as we delve into, or get into, the first paragraph of the London Baptist Confession of chapter 14, we see that, and we learn where this saving faith comes from. Where does it originate from? And we very quickly learn that it doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't reside within man. It is not, the foundation is not found in man. And we clearly read this, that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says not all men have faith. Not everybody has faith. And we must understand that not all men have saving faith. It's not founded in man. In other words, you can't just decide, oh, well, I think I'm going to exercise my faith today and get saved. No, saving faith is given as a gift unto us. And the confession puts it like this, and I'll read it to you. It's the grace of faith by which the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their souls is the work of the Spirit in their hearts. So, first of all, the grace of faith. Grace is something that is given freely. It is not earned. It is not deserved. Grace is unmerited favor. So normally, this is brought to us through the preaching of the Word. Through the preaching of the Word, by the Word and its ministry. And then the confession goes on to say, by the administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, by prayer and by other means appointed by God, faith is increased and strengthened. And we clearly see by this short paragraph that faith is a gift, that it's free, and that faith can be increased. And then we see that the reason and the purpose for this gift is for us to believe to the saving of our souls. And it comes by the Spirit of God working in our hearts. And it also comes by the hearing and the reading of the Word of God. It is a work of the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. And not by works, lest any man should boast, but we see that this saving faith, it ordinarily comes by God's Word. In other words, it normally comes by God's Word. We know Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And God can do whatever He wants to do, but ordinarily, normally, He saves by faith in the power of His Word. Reading and hearing God's Word is the way He uses to impart faith to our lives. And this term is a very important term in Reformed theology, the means of grace. The means of grace, the method through which we obtain faith. And the phrase, it speaks about the way which God normally works. And the way which God normally brings faith is through the Word of God. The means of grace is the way which we receive any grace from the Lord. Saving faith or the grace of anything. And that's why it's so important to come to church. Not because we are being legalistic or not because we just want a big church attendance, but the reason we come to church is because it's a means of grace. We hear God's Word. We are built up when we hear God's Word. We are edified and strengthened when we hear God's Word. And we come because we want to hear. It's precious to us, more precious than gold and silver. We come because we want to be with other believers. We want to pray together. We want to engage in things appointed by God, in worship. We want to fellowship together. We want to meditate on the scriptures that we hear. That's why we come. And we also come because we want to grow in faith. We come because we want to hear the truth of God's word spoken in love. And when we do hear the truth of God's word spoken in love, this causes us to grow in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 4:15. It causes faith to increase. Well, the apostles wanted their faith to increase, and they asked the Lord, increase our faith. And we see that this faith that we have, some of us have saving faith. And saving faith can increase, and saving faith can grow and get stronger in our lives. And how does that happen? It happens when we desire the pure milk of the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. We desire the Word. The more a little baby has the milk, the more that little baby grows. Oh, we desire to grow in our faith. Therefore, we need to partake of the means of grace, the Word of God. Oh, it's so amazing that we have our own personal copies of the Bible. I was reading just this week. There was somebody that loved the scripture so much that they would write it on little papers. This was back in the 1600s. And they would write with their hand a Bible verse. And one particular man had written the Lord's Prayer out on a piece of paper. The authorities caught him, and he was told to recant or to die. And he loved the Word of God so much that he refused to recant, and he was burned at the stake for owning a piece of paper with the Lord's Prayer written on it. And we today, without fear, we can own a whole Bible, and we can have 5 Bibles in the house, and nobody says anything. We will not be burned at the stake. What a privileged people we are. How wonderful it is. We can have it on our phone. You can find it on internet. Oh, it's the means of grace by which we can grow. To grow, we must partake. If we have 5 Bibles in the house and we never open them, how are we going to grow? We have to partake. We have to open them and read them and do them and be a doer, not a hearer only. Now, let's move on. We're going to learn some wonderful truths that are highlighted in the second paragraph of the confession of this chapter 14. And the first truth that I want to focus upon is we see that saving faith is accomplished by faith or trust in the authority of God's word. In the authority of God's word. The first evidence a person is saved is that they believe and trust Scripture. Saving faith is the root by which all genuine comforts grow. So this saving faith, when we trust God's living word. Now, some people, they say, I've got a high view of Christ, but I have a low view of his word. Somebody cannot say, I love Christ, but I've got a problem with his word. That doesn't make sense. They say, well, you know, there's parts of the Bible that I don't like, that I don't believe that are right. I don't like them. The horrible battles in the Old Testament, I don't like them. I don't like that the Bible talks about eternal punishment and hell. I don't like the doctrine of God's sovereignty. By the way, do you know that's the most unliked doctrine, the sovereignty of God? People want to be in control of their own lives. They don't want God to be in control. So a people that don't have a high view of Scripture cannot claim to have a high view of God. We must have a high, if we have a high view of God, we will have a high view of Scripture as well. You see, the Christian, the believer, must settle once and for all that God's word is not just the word of man. And we see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as in truth the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. You see, when we see the word of God, we don't see it as the word of man. We see it as the word of God. We know that his word was true in the beginning. It was every one of his righteous judgments endure forever and ever. And the believer who has experienced true saving faith, they see God's word like this. The saved person believes in the inerrancy of Scripture. That means that the Bible reflects truth completely and is completely reliable. That's what someone who has saving faith, that's how they see the Bible. And then they also see the infallibility of Scripture, that the Bible cannot fail. That the Scripture cannot fail and the Scripture cannot teach error. And then they see the accuracy of Scripture, the precise, accurate representation of the truth of the Word of God. And this is the view that someone that has and possesses saving faith has. We should have the same view that our Lord had, that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he said, the Scriptures cannot be broken. They can never be proven wrong. They can never be false in any way. So the first mark of saving faith is a person who believes the Bible is absolutely true. They hold fast to the Word of God, and that demonstrates the genuineness of their faith and their belief. Saving faith is proven when we submit to God's word, even when it challenges our personal desires. And at this point, this is the reality. This is when faith is proven. This is when we decide by what authority we are going to live. Let me give you an example to make it clearer. There was a famous Olympic runner, Eric Liddell, in the 1920s. And Eric Liddell was a man of true saving faith. And he chose to honor God. He chose to honor God above his personal ambition. Let me tell you what happened. He got news that the Olympic race that he was entering, the 100 meter, the trials were going to be done on a Sunday. And he said to himself, no, I will change my race. I'm not good at the 400 meters, but I will change to the 400 meters because I want to go to church on Sunday. I want to worship the Lord on Sunday. I want to honor the Lord on Sunday. And he began to train. He heard this news some months before he had to go to Paris for the Olympics. And he began to train, and he didn't do very well. His best times were just pretty average. And it didn't appear that he was going to do well. Well, he arrived in Paris. The day of the race came. And as he was about to race, somebody handed him a piece of paper. And written on that paper was a Bible verse. He who honors God, God will honor. And he thought, Lord, I'm honoring you. I will just do my best and I will run this race by faith. He ran the race and he set a new world record which stood for 12 years before it was ever broken. He honored God. He put God first. You see, when we are faced with a choice, my ambition or what the Lord wants, the one who has true saving faith chooses what God wants, not what they want. I was thinking about and reading about the martyrs that faced such terrible persecution, even unto death. And I read about one of the martyrs by the name of Polycarp, who was arrested for refusing to worship the Roman emperor. And he was given an option to renounce Christ or to face death. What do you think the average person would have done? I don't want to die such a terrible death. I don't want to be burned at the stake. But no, his famous reply was this: 86 years I have served him. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? He chose Christ. And this is what somebody, this is the essence of saving faith. They will choose Christ above what they want. The second point, let's go on to the second point that can be taken from this paragraph. And it's the Christian that possesses saving faith understands an inherent excellence in the scriptures. In other words, he understands that the scriptures surpass all uninspired writings and otherwise all excellent things of the world. And yes, there are many excellent books, and we do enjoy these books. We don't ignore other writings, but those other writings cannot be compared to scripture. And the Christian, the one who possesses saving faith, he esteems the Bible above all other books. And no other book is infallible. Only the Bible is infallible. Only the Bible is inspired by God. Only the Bible is God-breathed. And the Christian, the true Christian, realizes this. The Bible is the means of grace to convert sinners. It's not just a book. It has power within it. And I was reading about the most popular Christian book that has had the most sales apart from the Bible. And that book is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And it has sold over 250 million copies of Pilgrim's Progress. But do you know that as wonderful as the book is, as well written as it is, it has no power to save. Only Scripture can convict the heart. Only Scripture is inspired. And some people, they say, well, you may say that, but I don't like Scripture. Scripture is not inspired. Scripture is just a fairy tale. It's just a story. Well, I read this, and we used to say this growing up. Well, why did the communist countries like Russia and China spend millions of dollars at their border to keep a fairy tale out of their country? No, they knew that the Word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. They made special police forces to try to stop the Bible coming into the communist countries. Yes, the Bible is full of power. They knew, and we know, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you love the Word of God? We who are and have saving faith, to us the Word is everything, everything. And we read Psalm 19, and I want to read just some of the verses from verse 7 to 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Is this how we see the Word of God? The Christian who has saving faith, this is how they see the Word of God. We can give people a choice. For example, we can, on the one side, we can put a pile of gold. On the other side, we can put the living Word of God. And we say to them, you're only allowed to choose one. Well, the one who possesses saving faith, if they can only have one, they will rather choose the living Word. But the carnal man will rather choose the gold. What would we choose? Would we choose the gold or would we choose the Word? The Christian, the true Christian, sees that the gold is just like nothing. It's just ashes compared to the most precious scripture. True saving faith treasures the Word above everything else, above all. It reminds me of a story that I heard many years ago. I think it was in Mozambique. Rebels had attacked a village and set the houses ablaze, and the people were running for their lives. And one man said, I have to go back. I must go back. I've left something precious in the house. And they thought, what will he go back for? It's dangerous. Rebels are in the village. He can be shot. He can be killed. But he said, I have to go back. What I have left in the house is too precious. They thought, what is he going to get? Is he going to get his passport? Is he going to get his checkbook? What will he get? Well, he came running back. What did he have? He had his Bible. To him, the Bible was the most precious possession he had. He was willing to risk his life to get his Bible. This is how we must see our Bibles, as precious, precious, more precious than gold. Yea, much fine gold. Let's move on to point three. Scripture provides so much benefit for the true believer that casts their soul upon it. You cast your soul upon the Word of God. To learn of Christ is to learn of the Bible. We could say that the Bible is the only required textbook in the school of Christ. The only required textbook in the school of Christ. And the Bible gives great confidence. It gives great assurance to believers. It's the bread of life, the living water. But it's more than just knowing about the truths. It's relying on the truths. If you're walking down a path next to a river, and you come along the path and you see a beautiful bridge, and you stop and you marvel and you say, what a magnificent bridge. Look at it, how strong it is. Look how it just spans the river. You say, I really believe in that bridge. But you never set your foot on it. You never walk on it. You never place your weight upon the bridge. Can you say you have believed in that bridge? No, not at all. And it's the same with scriptures. Many people read the Bible and they say, wow, what a wonderful, magnificent verse. Oh, what a powerful Bible verse that is. But until you have leaned your entire weight and trust upon it, you haven't really believed it. We lean our soul upon the Word of God. We trust the Word of God, and we lean our entire weight upon it. And that's what it, that's the one, the believer that benefits from the Scripture. You can't benefit even if you sleep with the Bible under your pillow. The Bible must be in your heart, and you must rely on it, trust in it, have confidence in it, and believe it, and do it. You see, saving faith does for believers more than anything else could do for them. The one who trusts in and casts their whole life upon the Word of God will never be put to shame. Let's move on to the fourth point. God's Word helps believers grow in many ways. God's Word helps believers to grow in many ways. It corrects us, it encourages us, it helps us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture has been called the library of the Holy Spirit. Well, this library has 66 books, 30 Old Testament volumes, and 27 New Testament volumes. And it's a lending library. And it's actually more than a lending library. You can own these books and make them yours. You can memorize them if you want to. And when we read the Bible, we learn what is right and we learn what is wrong. We learn the way of love. We learn the way of forgiveness towards others. And we learn and see that Scripture calls us to obedience. And we know that Christ Jesus said, he said in John 15 and verse 14, he said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do." You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. And how do we know what Christ has commanded? Well, if you want to know Christ's commands, you open up the means of grace. You open up the Word of God, and you see what Christ has commanded. And we do what Christ has commanded. Let me give you one example. Scripture calls for trembling. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. The Lord says, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and contrite, of contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Do we value God's word so much that if we were to disregard it, it would cause our hearts to tremble? And that's what it means to value God's word. Oh Lord, forgive me. I have not done what your word says. My heart trembles. Oh Lord, wash me and cleanse me. And do you know the word of God is so faithful? It's not afraid to correct you. It's not afraid to show you your true condition. If you look into a natural glass mirror, you see what you look like. And if you look into the mirror of God's word, it reveals to you your true spiritual condition. Never lies, always is full of truth. And Scripture is so vast, so diverse, it will meet the needs of every man. Let's say a man is really encouraged and he's blessed and he's full of joy. Well, if your heart's overflowing with joy, you may read something in Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Maybe you feel like that, just praising the Lord all the time. But at times, other times, there are people that They may be in low spirits. They may be discouraged. They may read something like Psalm 13. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? Will you hide your face? Oh Lord, consider and hear and enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. So the Bible brings an answer to those that are encouraged, to those that are discouraged. There's not a need that man has that Scripture cannot fulfill. The answer for every need that we have is found in the pages of the living Word of God. Fifthly and finally, as we begin to draw to a close, however great the importance of the Word and faith in Scripture is, yes, it's valid. Yes, of course we believe in Scripture, but we must never forget that saving faith comes through Christ alone. We saw that no one can have a low view of Christ and a high view of Scripture. But the opposite is also true. Nobody can have a high view of Scripture and a low view of Christ. We are saved only by faith in Christ Jesus. We see this in John's Gospel. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, as many as received him, he gave them power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We are not saved because we own a Bible. We are saved because we believe in the author of the Bible, the one who inspired the Bible. That is how we are saved. Believing in his name, our faith is in the risen Christ. We wholeheartedly believe in Jesus Christ, but we also believe in his word. The two go together. They cannot be separated. Trusting Jesus means trusting the whole Bible, trusting the Scriptures, understanding that God's ways and methods are taught in the Bible, and we deeply respect the Bible. Yet, we always keep in mind and remember that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Well, we are out of time, and in closing, we need to ask ourselves a question. And this is the question posed. Do I really have saving faith in the light of these truths that we have looked at? Have I got a calm and a rock-solid assurance that I am a child of God, that I possess saving faith? Is my faith growing? What is my response to God's word? Do I value God's word more than anything else? Do I always put God's word first? If I do, I can be sure that I possess saving faith. Amen.